This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the
93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. We're going to dispense with the normal intro pleasantries. Jake, I'm going to shock you. Today's show is loaded. Are you surprised by this?
Not quite.
Were you aware of this?
I at least guessed it.
So we have a special guest on the line. Big volleyball match tonight in the state of Nebraska. We're also going to have a current Husker football player join us before the end of the show as well, probably hour two. So a couple of live interviews, a couple of interviews that I'm excited about. Matt Rhule, we're going to get to his press conference yesterday. But Dana Holgorsen, John Butler, some major updates that they're going to give today as well. But first, let's dive into it, light this candle, bring on our special guest, Creighton volleyball head coach Brian Rosen. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Dude, I appreciate you taking the time. I appreciate you joining me. You're going to play Nebraska tonight. Obviously, that's a big match for you guys, a big match for them. It's a rivalry match as well. But before we get to all that, let's talk about the season so far. Currently, you guys are ranked 18th in the country. But you have not taken the, hey, let's live in a bakery and schedule a cupcake in the non-conference approach. You have number 2 Penn State, number 5 Texas, number 14 Kansas, number 22 USC, Louisville. Like, tell me your approach to loading up the non-conference schedule with a bunch of really good opponents.
Yeah, I mean, I just think for us, you know, our conference is different. It's still a really good conference. It's been the 5th best conference in the country 3 years in a row, but We don't get the, you know, the P4 test that everyone else does towards the end. So for us, it's all about, you know, scheduling those matches early to build our RPI, like build our tournament resume. And we think we're as good as anybody in the country. And so we want to challenge ourselves against anyone and everyone we can and, you know, get national TV exposure for our program, which obviously helps with recruiting. And although we'd love to win a few more of these, we feel like we're right there and we're competing. We're in every set and getting a little bit better every weekend.
So you're 5-4 on the season, like I mentioned, 18th in the country. But again, you've played 2 top 5 teams, 3 top 5 teams, 4 top 15 teams, and 5 teams overall that are ranked. So again, you're not living in a bakery, no cupcakes for Creighton volleyball. Talk to me about what you've seen from your team so far, because you faced really good competition, which gives you the opportunity to learn, hey, this is what we're good at. This is what we need to improve on. So what have you seen from your team so far?
Yeah, obviously so many new faces on this team from last year to this year. And the one person on our team that we did not have this spring is Anna, who's our starting setter. And you could just tell that from kind of the early season matches that we were pretty vanilla. We were pretty basic with our offense, which made a team, you know, like Penn State and their size, just made us a little bit easier to defend. But we could see even in that match that we were going to be gritty. We were going to be competitive. Like our block and our defense are really good. And then I just think our offense has gotten like a little bit better every single weekend. Our issue in some of these matches that we've lost are we just struggled to side out. And I think that was kind of based on our offense, because our passing is also really good. And then this weekend by far was our best offensive weekend. I think we hit at or over 300 in all three matches. And Louisville was a great test. I think they're one of the better defensive teams in the country. And so to hit as well as we did and be as productive as we did against them was really good for our confidence, even though, yeah, we'd love to win it. We played a great first set. I think the second one went like 32-30, and I thought we were in every set. We just gotta close out ones like that to get a different result. And then we played two really good teams after that. Rice is a perennial NCAA tournament team. UNI's top 30 RPI every year. They challenged Louisville as well. And so to sweep both of those and in pretty big fashion was, again, like really good confidence for our offense. I thought we were really balanced as well.
All right, talk to me about the Nebraska match tonight. I'm sure you're studied up, ready to go, prepared for that match. What have you seen from the Huskers so far? Undefeated number one team in the country. But what have you seen from them so far this year as you get ready to take them on this evening?
Yeah, they're really good. I think obviously we've gotten to see now, I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 maybe in the AVCA polls or whatever, whether we played against them or whether we were just like at the tournament that they were at as well. And I think right now there's one clear number one, and that's Nebraska. And then I think that 2 through 20, we feel like we can beat anyone. And I think this is maybe the most parity we've ever seen in volleyball. I think the end of the COVID year and those kinds of things has made teams a little bit younger. Maybe teams unlike Nebraska have a lot of seniors and older players. Obviously, incredible depth on their team, but yeah, we feel good about some of our matchups. Our service pressure has been the key to our success all season. So if Nebraska's in system, any team's going to have a lot of problems. So like our focus has to be to, get them out of system, allow our block to set up and give ourselves the chance to limit their options. But yeah, if they have, all three options going at all times, they're going to be really hard to defend. And same thing for us. We have to stay in system create a little chaos for their block as well.
What's it like when you're getting ready for a team? And obviously they're number one in the country. You said they deserve to be so far this year, but they've got a little bit of the box office attraction to them as well with Harper Murray. It's 10 of the most followed volleyball players in the entire country. Of those 10, 7 of them are on the Nebraska volleyball team. And then you got a former, player and alumni and national champion in her own right multiple times, whether it be player, head coach, who's now the head coach, and Danny Busboom Kelly. Harper Murray's very, very popular in a lot of circles. So talk to me a bit about just like staying focused and not getting sidetracked when you're playing a team like this.
Yeah, I think there's two parts to that. I think first, I do want our team to like understand and be grateful for like how incredible this opportunity is that we have tonight to play in front of, hoping 17,500-ish fans. I said in a press conference, two teams are going to get to say they did that this year, and that's us in Nebraska. And so making sure that we are grateful for this, like you do look around and take in, before the match starts. And then obviously once the whistle blows, we got to dial in and make sure we do all the little things to give us a chance to win tonight. But yeah, I think there's added excitement for who we're playing against. Anytime you play a number one ranked team or a top five team on national TV in that kind of environment, it adds to the excitement for our athletes to want to compete and want to be successful. And so I think they have that little bit of a chip, obviously, that we've never done it before, and wanting to be the first to do it. And so I think all those pieces are there. And as we were going through scout, our players know everybody on their team. We don't have to say like, all right, well, number 12 will do this, or number 27 will do that. It's Harper, or it's Taylor. Our athletes know who they are and have seen them, and so I think there's a lot of familiarity for sure.
Talk to me about the rivalry aspect of this. Obviously, in-state rivals, two teams that are NCAA tournament teams every year. You play every year. Campuses are, 45, 50 minutes apart? Talk to me about the rivalry aspect of this.
Yeah, I think obviously it can only be a rivalry if both teams are really good. And I think, it gives so much credit to Coach Booth, to Coach Cook, and Terry Pettit, and, for building these programs into what they are now, to make this a real rivalry that 17,500 people even want to go see. So I think that's such a big piece to this, that you have two pretty consistent top 15, top 20 programs. They get to play each other every single year. I would love to make the win-loss record closer. I think that helps with any kind of rivalry too, that both sides are able to find success. This will be my fourth year in my three previous meetings. Two of them have gone to 5. One of them I think was in 4. And so we've always felt like we've been there. We haven't been able to find a way to win those fifth sets or win the ones that were there. So obviously last year, one of the sets I think went 30 something, and Laney Choboy was I think in the middle at one point. And so, it's such a fun environment. I love the volleyball fans of Nebraska. I think they genuinely just love good volleyball. And that's what I learned my first match in this rivalry was, you know, when we made a great play, everyone cheered. When they made a great play, you know, even our fans cheered. And then, you know, when things get tight, either the Let's Go Jays chant start or the Go Big Red chant start. And so I just think it's a friendly rivalry between two incredible programs from the same state. And it just so happens to be the mecca of volleyball.
Talk to me about taking over, because, you know, Danny Busboom-Kelly taking over for Coach Cook, as you mentioned, you're taking over for Coach Booth, a legend, both legends. Yeah. So talk to me about what that's been like for you, because this is obviously Coach Kelly's first season, Busboom-Kelly, her first season as head coach at Nebraska, but your first season as the head coach at Creighton. What's that been like for you?
It's been incredible. Again, it's a dream job in a dream place for myself, for my family. I'm so fortunate to still have Coach Booth, like, at my side, taking my phone calls. She was here supporting her daughter and us this weekend at the tournament, so I got to kind of talk and sit with her again. And she has made me a better person, a better coach, and so just forever grateful that 4 years ago I took a crazy leap of faith to leave the Southeast and come to Omaha, Nebraska, and it's just been such a special place again for my family, my kids, and all of us. And so just blessed to be where I am. And, you know, like I said, for my players, like, I'm doing the same thing for myself, you know, making sure I take a look around tonight and realize kind of like where I'm at as well.
So I actually had the opportunity to throw out a first pitch at a Storm Chasers game last summer. And Coach Booth, I think she threw out the pitch right. It was right before me. Man, she can throw a little bit. She's got an arm on her. She threw pretty well. I was pretty impressed. So talk to me about, because there's Creighton fans all over the state. Obviously, a lot of Husker fans on a soccer team that one of my daughters play for. I have five daughters. Almost all of them still play soccer. A lot of them play basketball. Volleyball's becoming big as well as they get older. I discovered, my wife happens to coach this team, and I discovered that there's a family of, they're huge Creighton fans. And I had put out a post about a year ago, something about the Nebraska-Creighton rivalry, and they kind of joked and they thought it was funny. I put out another one. They were a little more serious the next time I saw them. It was all in good fun, but talk to the Creighton fans out there, anything you want them to know or a message for Nebraskans in general that you'd like them to know about the Creighton volleyball program.
I just think, you know, from an outsider coming into Nebraska 4 years ago, again, I am so appreciative every day of the volleyball support that we get in this state. You know, I've been a part of really good programs and been around really good programs that dream and beg and have to do all these kinds of things just to get a couple hundred to show up at a game. And so to be in the environments that we get to play in, I mean, even on Friday, you know, we had standing room only for the Louisville match and, you know, sold out those games. And so being at a place and in a community that supports volleyball like this is incredible. And even at that, you know, there was a high school jamboree a few weeks ago at a football stadium now. And so seeing all of this in this state, it just takes my breath away sometimes. And so I'm just so grateful for them. And I hope that, you know, when our fans come or even the Nebraska fans come, that they see that we have a team full of grit, that play with a ton of joy, that don't give up on points, that support each other, love each other, and play really hard for each other and for the fans. And that's kind of the brand that they want to show off.
To be clear, the Creighton family that I'm referring to, they're pretty awesome. They're pretty proud. So it's pretty cool to see how proud they are of Creighton volleyball and Creighton in general. Sure. They're specifically volleyball fans as well. So that's pretty cool to see. Talk to me about pro volleyball in the state of Nebraska. I don't know how much you follow that. I mean, you're right there in Omaha. They love volleyball, and you've got the Supernovas, and I believe there's some sort of merging going on. I'm not completely up to speed on that. But talk to me about your take on pro volleyball growing in America, but specifically in Nebraska as well.
Yeah, I think we're just at a time where we're just so lucky to be in volleyball. I would say historically I hadn't really followed it, but now that, you know, we've had several players go from Creighton into these pro leagues, definitely following it a lot more. And we've become friends with a lot of the coaches that are at both teams here in Omaha. So we've gotten to learn some of the ins and outs. And obviously Coach Booth now is with Love. And so getting to talk to her about all the different things and changes. I just love that our collegiate athletes are going to have opportunities to play after college. You know, 2 years ago, the only way to do that would be to go overseas. And, you know, the Nora Sisses, the Kendra Waits, the people that, you know, are close to family and wouldn't want to do that would just, you know, stop playing volleyball and go into their professions, which is obviously great too. But now they have this opportunity to play volleyball. And so, and I think it even starts at the youth level. You know, Love partners with like clubs in the area. So like Premier Volleyball Club here in Omaha is partnered with Love. And so these like young, like my daughter's there. So like at 10 and 11, like my daughter is getting to be around these professional volleyball players so that she can sit and watch them and dream that one day, like, I could be a professional volleyball player. And 2 years ago, that wouldn't even be something they would ever think of. And so, you know, like, you know, boys, like when I was growing up, like, you know, I could dream of taking the last shot, you know, in the NBA game or hitting a home run or all these kinds of things. And, you know, young girls that wanted to play volleyball weren't able to do that. And I hope that through PVF or MLV or Love, like now these young girls growing up, can look up to these collegiate and professional athletes and see themselves doing that one day.
All right, last question, Coach. I appreciate your time. I mentioned, you know, you talked about the opportunity to play pro volleyball or collegiate volleyball, or just want to get better in volleyball in general. If you're playing youth volleyball or high school volleyball, as I mentioned, I got a bunch of volleyball players in my house. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give them, or would you give me that I can share with them?
Just get out and play. I think there's volleyball at all levels, from, you know, middle school teams to travel club teams to whatever. Get out and play, I think, and play small groups. Like if you can get into grass tournaments or beach leagues or any of those kind of things, just obviously the less people on the court, the more touches you get. And so where I came from in Florida, there are so many like outdoor tournaments for like young kids to play, just because of the weather. And so like, I really encourage young players, including my own daughter, to play in doubles tournaments, triples tournaments, because it just gets them more touches on the ball. They're able to do more things. And then, my biggest pet peeve in youth volleyball is position specific training. I think way too often right now we take a 10-year-old and we make them a middle or a setter or whatever, instead of just allowing them to play the game of volleyball, do a little bit of everything, and just become better. Because I think it just pigeonholes people. You know, you look at like a Catherine Plummer. I think it'd be easy to take a 6'6" kid and just make her a middle, but she ended up becoming one of the best six rotation outsides in the country. And so there's so many examples of that where they just stick the tall kid in the middle and don't let him do anything, instead of developing their whole game. So those would be my few things.
I appreciate the advice. You actually just described exactly what happened to my niece. She is very tall. And basically they stuck her in the middle. And then when it came time for her to rotate out of there, she got rotated in out of the game. And it was a little frustrating. She was like 9. So anyways, appreciate your time, Coach. Good luck this evening.
Thank you so much. Go Jays.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Again, we got a loaded show today. Should we do the intro pleasantries now, Jake?
Yeah, I think you could do it now.
Should we do it now?
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the Adam Carriker Show. That was head coach Brian Rosen of Creighton Volleyball ahead of their big time matchup tonight versus Nebraska. That'll be played in Omaha. All right. Who you got winning that one, Jake? Who you got winning?
Well, I got to go with Nebraska here. Creighton has faced a lot of really good opponents, like you said, so far. Few of them have been able to sweep Creighton, and so hopefully, as a Nebraska fan, hopefully it kind of goes along that way. But Creighton's well tested, so I mean that is one thing you look at it. They're not going to be, worried or nervous or okay, this is the number one team in the country. They've played 2, 3, five. They play, Texas. I mean, they played all these teams, and able to get a top 25 win already into the season. So they're going to be good, stiff competition. Nebraska, I mean, at least for what they're expecting. The crowd is going to set an indoor record. Mm. It is sold out. So it's going to be a romp, crazy environment. But it's just going to be tough to beat the Huskers this year.
I agree with that. And it's interesting because I do wonder, if you're an out-of-state team playing Nebraska, you're aware of Nebraska and you're aware of everything. And you probably heard of Rebecca Alec and Harper Murray. But you may, like, if you're in Nebraska day in and day out on Nebraska social media, you see them all the time. I wonder if there's any sort of effect of you're a Creighton volleyball player. Now, all of a sudden, they're right in front of you, this person you've probably seen 500,000 times the past year on whether it be X or TikTok or whatever. Is there a little bit of an aura that comes with that? Do you think there's any sort, not an intimidation factor versus playing a high-ranked team or a good team, just all of a sudden you see this person in front of you, that can be a little surreal sometimes. How big a factor do you think that could be for Creighton tonight?
Oh, yeah, and head coach Brian Rosen just kind of said it. You don't have to name their numbers or anything. They know each one of these gals by name. And so, you know, I think that can that could maybe play a little bit of a factor, you know, pre-match, getting into it, of course. But then once you're playing, again, it's like usual. Once you're out there a couple minutes into a match, you're gonna lock in. So, you know, I think the crowd, that sort of stuff, always something to kind of look at in the first set. But I think everybody will get kind of comfortable. But again, and going back to, you know, who I picked here, Creighton's never beat Nebraska in volleyball. So if they do that tonight in front of a record crowd, it would be one of the all-time moments. But you know, all that is a lot to ask for.
You took the words right out of my mouth. The first set, obviously you can bounce back. And one of the most impressive things I've seen this year is when Nebraska reverse swept Kentucky, who's a top 10 team. So if you lose the first set, it doesn't mean you're out of it, but that's going to tell me a lot about Creighton. They're a good volleyball program. I think they've won 8 straight of their conference championships. Okay. And the Big East is a decent conference in volleyball, but when you look at who they played, all right, it's a tough schedule, but when they did get swept, it was Penn State, 0-3. Texas got swept, 0-3. USC got swept, 0-3. Now, I'm not knocking Creighton. They're a good volleyball program. To be clear, what I'm saying is I think this first set is going to tell us a lot. If they come out, even if they lose the first set, but play well, that bodes well for the rest of the match. If they come out and they don't look as great, which I don't anticipate, to be honest with you. I anticipate it to be a good match that goes, you know, at least 4, maybe 5 sets. We'll see, okay? But I think that first set's going to tell you a lot. How are their emotions? Because the crowd's going to be going crazy. Ginormous crowd, raucous. It's going to be, you know, on their home court, so you would think it would be in favor of them. How do they handle all of that? The playing a high-ranked team, nothing new for them. It's everything else that kind of goes into it sometimes that affects the human being factor, and the human being factor is part of the player and how effective a player is on a given night. Because that can vary from night to night based on the human being factor and what's going on outside of just the player. That makes sense how I kind of describe that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a distinction that often needs to be made.
Yeah. Players are people. They're not just names and faces on a video game that are always going to play the exact same. So I'm curious. I'm going to be tuning in. I'm excited. I'm rooting for Nebraska. I'm not going to lie. I find myself rooting for Creighton where they're not playing Nebraska. All right. I appreciate Coach Rosen taking the time. They're going to be, I guarantee, in the tournament again this year. I hope they both make deep runs. Creighton can stop around right around the Elite Eight. You know, I've always said right around the Elite Eight, Final Four, and then hopefully Nebraska wins it all. Do you think, okay, I've asked you this once before. I'm going to ask it again. Do you think Nebraska volleyball goes undefeated this year?
I think they're going to be favored in every matchup. So there's that. But that's, again, that human factor. I don't think so. I just think it's going to be, you know, just too much, you know, maybe one or two losses, but it's just a lot to ask to go undefeated. Again, I always go back to John Cook because he's a lot smarter than I am about this. And he just said it's a lot to ask for a team to go undefeated in the Big Ten these days.
It's kind of one of those, even if you're the better team, somewhere, someone along the way might trip. They might be better on that particular night. Even if on 10 nights, you'd be better 8 or 9 times out of 10 that one night. It's kind of like the little Giants. All it takes is that one time. Remember the halftime speech? That one time. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
They're down by like a million to the Cowboys in the Little Giants movie 1994 with the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids dad is like the coach of the Little Giants. And I think Ed O'Neill is the coach of the Cowboys. He won the Heisman in this movie. And they're like, basically the Giants is everyone who couldn't make the Cowboys team. Did you see the movie?
I know what you're talking about somewhat, but I didn't. I don't think I've ever seen the movie.
So basically, Ed O'Neill puts together this youth football team that they want to go play nationally. And they want to win like a national championship. And he was the Heisman Trophy winner in this scenario. And everyone tries out for the team. And half the kids don't make the team. But they still want to play football. So the Cowboys are all the kids that are coached by Ed O'Neill that make the team. The Little Giants is everyone who didn't make the team. And then, do you remember the movie Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Yeah,
Honey,
yeah,
I Blew
sure.
Up the Kids. That dad, I forget his name.
Yeah.
His daughter, her nickname is Icebox. I had a huge crush on Icebox when I was a kid. I did. I had a huge crush on Icebox. All right, that was her nickname in the movie. And his daughter still wanted to play. And frankly, should have made the Cowboys team. She was good enough, but she was a girl, so she didn't get put on the team. All right, this is 1994. And so he coaches this team, puts together all these kids that didn't make this team. They call themselves the Little Giants. They're getting in the Nile. So, and then they're going to scrimmage. It's like a warm-up game for the Cowboys. They need a warm-up game, okay, before they go play real teams, so to speak. And they're annihilating the Little Giants at halftime. I don't remember what the score was. I mean, the movie's like, what, 30 years ago. 28-0, 21-0. And at halftime, they start talking about, you know, you don't have to be better. You just have to be better one time. You just have to beat them one time. You just have to do it one time. And then one of the kids stands up and he talks about racing his big brother down Cherry Hill on his bike. And he goes, you know, tells this whole story. And at the end of it, he beat his brother, older brother, down Cherry Hill. And all the kids are like, you beat him down Cherry Hill? He's like, yeah, we raced like 1,000 times, but I beat him one time. And then it was like, all it takes is one time, one time. And the kids all get into it. They end up coming back and winning the game, of course. Otherwise, it's a terrible movie. You know, you don't make the team and then you lose the game, too. You got to have something to get excited about. But anyways, it's a great movie if you haven't seen it. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like any given Sunday, any one time. You know, you never know what can happen. I'm still curious to see, because they are a well-coached team. They are probably the best team in the country. They are the most talented team in the country. I'm curious to see if they can do something that's very rarely done in college volleyball, maybe go undefeated. You don't even like me put that out there in the atmosphere, do you? I can tell.
I don't mind it. It could happen. It'd be awesome to see it. By the way, Rick Moranis,
people
typing in. Yeah, texting in.
I appreciate that. Rick Moranis, that is correct. Did you like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids or Honey, I Blew Up the Kids better?
I think I shrunk the kids. I don't even know if I remember I blew up the kids.
I never forget when the movie came out. I just had the image of the kids being blown up, like literally exploding, and they just get big. They don't actually get blown up. They get big, but that was the title they used. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we come back. We'll dive into Matt Rhule's press conference briefly from yesterday. Then Dana Holgorsen, John Butler give some major updates. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.